Hello there. Welcome back to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend and good to be back with you as we're, I guess, officially into Christmas week, right? You see, got a little Santa and snowman action back there. See, what do you think? It's all right, huh? Not bad. Maybe next Christmas I'll be more elaborate. The hat today is, I've worn it before, but in tribute to Paul Goldschmidt joining the New York Yankees, which I'm going to talk about today, as well as the possibility of Nolan Arenado becoming a Yankee as well. And a kind of a review of Goldie's career in St. Louis. We're going to get into all that in a minute. But this one, anyway, the reason I say there's the Yankee connection, that LL stands for Larrapin Lou's. The Larrapin Lou's. That's Lou Gehrig. And after the Yankees won the World Series in 1927, he put together a barnstorming team of all-star players, and they went around the country taking on Babe Ruth's barnstorming team. So I just love the name. You know, I just think it's great. Larrapin Lou. The Larrapin Lou's against, I forget what Babe's team was called. It doesn't matter, does it? All right, let's get busy, all right? Well, like I said, I'm going to cover a lot of ground. I will get to the Nolan Arenado speculation later on. So let's talk about this. First of all, I think Paul Goldschmidt, in signing a one-year deal for $12.5 million with the Yankees, did a good job. I think that place will help him. I think the winning environment will help him. I even think Yankee Stadium will help him, and I'll get into that here very soon. Also, I thought it was a smart move for the Yankees because there is, first of all, it's a big upgrade. I know Goldie's numbers were down. Nobody has to tell me about all that in 2024, but the Yankees first baseman as a group were horrible, just absolutely terrible. So Goldschmidt will benefit the Yankees. I don't really have any doubt about that. It's just by how much. You know, is he going to be league average? Is he going to be, you know, is he going to get something going, turning all those good StatCast metrics into something, you know, more positive? We'll see. And let's get into this. There's still some power left, even though Goldie's 22 home runs last season were the fewest he had clubbed in a season since 2014. It is also his .414 slugging percentage was the worst in his career. But we've mentioned this before. His underlying indicators at StatCast were pretty positive, actually. His hard hit rate, nearly 50%, ranked among the top 8% of major league hitters. His average exit velocity was in the top 18% of major league hitters. And based on quality of contact, and I told you his actual slugging percentage was .414. But based on how hard he hit the ball, his expected slugging percentage was .450, which put him in the top 24% of big league hitters in expected slugging percentage. In other words, what we're saying is he deserved a higher slugging percentage than what he actually posted last year. You better believe Brian Cashman and the Yankees was looking at that. And then they have the Yankee Stadium factor. Now, I know we all know that Yankee Stadium is a hitter's haven for left-handed bats, right? But as my friend RJ Anderson of CBS Sports, who's an excellent baseball analyst, as he noted, Yankee Stadium is actually a good place for right-handed batters as well. Now, specifically as this pertains to Goldie, let me add this piece of information from RJ Anderson. Quote, according to StatCast, Yankee Stadium has the third highest home run factor for right-handed batters over the last three seasons, which is much better than Busch Stadium, which ranked 22nd in terms of the home run factor for right-handed batters. So he's going to a yard that should be much better for him than Busch Stadium was, at least based on the past three seasons. Okay. I mentioned this is definitely an upgrade for the Yankees. Last season, their first baseman ranked last in the majors in OPS, 619. Oh, is that bad? And they were collectively 24% below league average offensively, if you go with, weighted runs created plus, WRC plus. In wins above replacement, their first base group finished below the replacement level. In other words, they were just like minor league guys. They weren't just a horrible performance from collectively Anthony Rizzo, Ben Rice, and DJ LeMahieu. They were just terrible. Another factor in Goldschmidt's intact strength against left-handed pitching, that's another factor, the way he wallops left-handed pitching. He did that last year, too. He was very good against lefties, and that is a plus for a New York lineup that was substantially worse against left-handed pitchers compared to right-handed pitchers in 2024. Is he a bounce-back candidate? Is Paul Goldschmidt a bounce-back candidate? I think there's a basis for some optimism. I don't know how much, but I think there's if you're going to look for reasons for optimism, there are reasons to be found. The first 3 months of last season, he hit .225. He had an on-base percentage under .300, and his slugging percentage was .361. If you go by weighted runs created plus, he was 15% below the league average offensively in the first 3 months of the season, and his strikeout rate was 29%. He hit a home run every 29 at-bats. He hit a double only just every 32 at-bats. I mean, that doubles rate was way down. And he was awful against right-handed pitching. Hit .210 with bad numbers to follow in the rest of the slash line in the first 3 months of 2024. But you'll remember he did start to do better. Most people take it from the All-Star break on, which I don't do because there's really no reason to. To me, there's an even split first 3 months of the season compared to the second 3 months of the season. So I gave you the numbers for the first 3 months. They were awful. In the last 3 months, though, Goldie hit .269. His on-base percentage wasn't great, but it was above .300. And he slugged .473. His OPS was .784. So he went from a .655 OPS to a .784 OPS. First 3 months to the next 3 months. And he was 16% above league average offensively over the final 3 months. He also cut down on his strikeout rates to 24%. He hit a double every 12 at-bats in the final 3 months. Remember what I told you before? In the first 3 months, he hit a double every 32 at-bats. He hit a lot of doubles those final 3 months. And doubles matter. We all dwell so much on home runs, but doubles, especially for a guy like Goldschmidt, doubles have always been a huge part of his game. So he definitely bounced back in the final 3 months of last season. What does this mean? I don't know. Again, there are reasons for some optimism if you are the New York Yankees or a Yankee fan. Also, another thing I look at is for a reason to believe Goldie still got something left offensively. Now, listen, he didn't hit fastballs, which is much authority that he showed in his MVP season of 2022, but he still pitched for plenty of power against those fastballs, both types, whether we're talking four-seam or we're talking sinker. Last season, he slugged – this is the entire season now. He slugged .479 against four-seam fastballs and .470 on sinkers. That's good. A big problem for Goldie, and if he wants to help himself with the Yankees, or he wants to help the Yankees, his fantastic plate discipline, fantastic his whole career, pretty much, has really deteriorated. Last season, he took way too many called strikes. He chased way too many pitches out of the zone. His walk rate has cratered. It was awful last season. And that in turn brought down his on-base percentage to a career low last season, .302. I mean, that's way down from what his peak standards were. So he can help himself just by having better plate discipline. And believe me, the first guy that knows that is Paul Goldschmidt. Let's talk about his Cardinals career. He was the national. Here are the highlights. I'm not going to go into individual games except to mention one postseason game. He was the National League MVP in 2022. Before that, he received MVP votes in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Goldie also won a Gold Glove. He won a Silver Slugger. He was picked for one All-Star game. In his six seasons, let's look at the full body of work, 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. He ranked third among Major League first basemen in wins above replacement. The only two that were better over those six seasons were Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson. among first basemen over the 6 years, fourth in batting average in homers and runs batted in, and fifth in both OPS and OPS plus, and I think he was third in runs scored. The Cardinals made the playoffs in four of his six seasons. The Cardinals also won their only postseason round since 2014 when they defeated Atlanta in the 2019 NLDS. Goldie put up big numbers in that five-game series that went to the final game, and he helped lift the Cardinals into the NLCS against Washington. Against the Braves, he batted .429. He had a .478 on-base percentage and a .905 slug. And he was really big, came up big in that critical game four. Remember, the Cardinals were on the brink, man. They were losing to the Braves. It was 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. They lose. It's over at Busch Stadium. It was a great ball game. And Goldie in that game reached base four times, three hits and a walk. He doubled and scored the tying run on an RBI single by Yadier Molina with the Cardinals down 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Okay, those are short list positives with Goldie as a Cardinal. And I mean, there were others. Again, I'm not going to get into like specific games, like when he hit three home runs against the Brewers and all that, because I'd be here all day. So we gave you the kind of the condensed version of all the positives. Now we have to look on the downside. On the downside, the Cardinals failed to make the postseason in his final 2 years here. And again, this ain't an individual solo sport. This is a team sport. But, I mean, the fact is, if we're going to look at the body of the record and we say, well, he made the playoffs for his first 6 years, four of his 6 years here, we should point out they didn't make it the final two. And they went 4-11 overall in the postseason with Goldschmidt in the lineup. Again, this is just a reflection on what the team expected when they got Goldschmidt and what the reality became. That's all I'm trying. That's the only point I want to make. The Cardinals didn't get enough out of Goldschmidt, but Goldschmidt didn't get enough out of the Cardinals either in terms of putting better teams around him in even 2019, but certainly 2021. 2022, it was better. But 2021, very, very negligible went into the season with no starting pitching hardly, and it fell apart, and they had a hard time patching it up, although they liked to get John Lester and Jay Happ, and at least they were Band-Aids that held it together a little bit, and the Cardinals made the playoffs. But anyway, after defeating Atlanta in that 2019 LDS series, the Cardinals went 1-9 in the postseason after that. And listen, Goldschmidt was a significant factor in a bad way in that 1-9 record. He hit .128 in those 10 games. His OPS was a little over 500, and he had a horrendous strikeout rate of 37% in those 10 games in which the Cardinals went 1-9. I didn't mention Goldschmidt's plus. Well, actually, I did. I did mention the fact that he won a gold glove, but he was a good defender in St. Louis too, so I wanted to backtrack briefly. But if you look at 2024, getting back to the downside part of his career in St. Louis, Goldie produced the weakest all-around offensive performance of his career in 2024. And he was at his worst, as you know, when batting with runners in scoring position. He finished 40% below league average offensively in RISP situations. I should probably just end it right there, other than to add there was only five big league hitters that did a worse job with runners in scoring position against Paul Goldschmidt than Paul Goldschmidt in 2024. Only five guys were worse in those RISP situations. And he played a big role in those failures. But then again, you know, the front office failed on many fronts as well. There was a lot of failures. A lot of people, when that Cardinals were going 1-9, they didn't get much from hardly anybody. I mean, that's the point. It was kind of a systemic failure, especially with the offense. But he was part of that, as was Arenado in 21 and 22. Listen, it remains to be seen. This, let's get to the Nolan Arenado question. Everyone's like, well, you know, it'd be a great thing. Those guys have immense respect. They're good friends. The Yankees could use a third baseman. Listen, I don't really know what to predict about Nolan Arenado anymore. I mean, John Denton last week, MLB.com, he was on a local radio station. I think it was 101 ESPN, pardon me. And, you know, he insisted that Arenado absolutely still wants to be a Los Angeles Dodger, and he hasn't given up hope that he'll be a Dodger. And John Denton really said something interesting. He said, in effect, that the Dodgers were playing a game. It's not his words, mine, but they were playing possum, you know, not his words, mine, saying that, absolutely the Dodgers are interested in him. They're just trying to play hard to get, and they're just not going to make it easy and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what to believe. And listen, John Denton's got his own sources. I respect them, and I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, who knows? That's the thing. Who knows? The Dodgers made it really clear that they were committed to Max Muncy at third base, as they should be. Max Muncy could always play second base, and you could either trade Gavin Lux or do something with Gavin Lux. I don't know. Again, I get a headache, and I'm burned out on the Arenado stuff. I just hope this stuff is resolved soon, if it's going to be resolved at all. As time goes on, it makes you wonder more and more, all right, is he going to find a new home? You know, I'm sitting here today, I'd still think the chances are very high Cardinals trade him. But would I bet any money on this? Would I bet any money on a specific team? Would I bet any money on what he'll do with his no trade clause? Will I bet any money on like what team is most likely to try to get him? I wouldn't bet. Well, I thought I had a nickel on my desk here. I don't. I wouldn't bet a nickel on any of this. Who knows? Just get the damn thing over with, right? You know, Goldschmidt was a class act in St. Louis, highly respected pro. He wasn't a proactive leader. And by getting Goldie and Arenado in trades, the Cardinals expected to win, a National League pennant. One, at least, World Series. Hey, get in the hunt for a couple of those. And in that context, it didn't work. And I did a video a long time ago when the Cardinals didn't, they let Goldie know they weren't bringing him back. And I, you know, I put kind of a harsh headline on the thing, looking back on it, you know, Goldie failed. Well, he failed in the context that he played a big role in a lot of their postseason failures. But again, I'm going to say it one more time. There was a lot of failure to be spread around. You'd play the blame game. There was a lot of different people you can point at, including John Mozeliak, including the manager, including a lot of his teammates. Plenty, plenty, plenty of blame to go around. But if we want to talk about, hey, you had Goldschmidt, you had Arenado, Goldie was here 6 seasons. They were together 4 seasons, assuming Arenado gets traded. In the context, their goal was to win a World Series, win a pennant or two. In that context, it was a failure. It doesn't mean it was a total failure. It was a bottom line failure. And again, I'll say it because I know if I don't say John Mozeliak's name, you know, 20, 30 times in a 20-minute video, that people will be, you know, telling, you let Mo off easy. No, John Mozeliak, John Mozeliak, John Mozeliak, blame, 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 failure, failure, failure. Okay, we good? We covered now. Thank you. I'm just kidding, man. Trying to get wound up. It remains to be seen, like we said. Okay, let's get back to Arenado. You know, could they make another run at the Yankees? Could the Yankees make another run at Arenado? Here we go. It remains to be seen whether the Yankees will add another infielder to replace their free agent second baseman, who doesn't look like there's much, if any, chance they're going to try to re-sign him. I'm talking about Gleyber Torres. The Yankees could try to do it by they could do it, adding an infielder by trading for Arenado and then moving Jazz Chisholm from third base to second base, his natural position. And they would be much better defensively that way. They really would. Or the Yankees could leave Chisholm at third. And if they don't want to spend the money on Arenado, whatever they would be required to spend, because assuming the Cardinals would eat a portion of that contract, that the money that's owed to Arenado. But they could, first of all, fill second base with a smaller, low-profile move, you know, and keep Chisholm at third. But their in-house options at second base are really bad, third base for that matter, unless they keep Chisholm there. Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera, just look them up. Not much there. DJ LeMahieu, who we mentioned, still has $30 million remaining on his contract over the next 2 seasons. Whoo, you talk about bad contracts. But he is viewed, if they keep him, or in other words, if they're going to play him, is the best way to put it. He'd be viewed, according to New York media, much more possibly, of all the scenarios, more possible that he would play third base rather than second. But LeMahieu has been in decline over the past four seasons. And in 2024, he batted 204, and the OPS plus made him 49% below average offensively. The major league average, 49%. The Yankees, with all this money they can spend that they still have, would they really, after losing Soto, would and then getting a discount type deal in Goldschmidt for 1 year? You know, they wouldn't give him two. And hey, I don't blame them. I'm just saying after losing Soto, they've spent some money. You know, certainly the Max Fried contract was a big one, and then they took on Cody Bellinger from the Cubs. They didn't have to give up anything, but they are paying Bellinger $28 million at least for this year. But are they really going to line up at Yankee Stadium in front of those fans and in that media market? They're really going to put DJ LeMahieu at third base when they have a chance to put Arenado there? And I guess we shouldn't rule out the Yankees coming in and swooping in for Alex Bregman. We have to wait in that. In fact, during the time I'm recording this, who knows? Things are happening quickly. So I had to do a quick Google search to see if anything's happened before I sign off. Derek Gould and others have reported, you know, Brian Cashman and the Yankees have been interested. They've stayed in touch with John Mozeliak. And there were some media reports, and I think this one's funny. Brian Cashman, you know, pardon me for being kind of crude, but Brian Cashman just wanted to see how stupid the Cardinals were, right? He's like, well, I can only imagine their conversation. Well, you know, they've really done some dumb things. So you think they would be this dumb? Well, let me try. And that's when Brian Cashman, I'm making the conversation up, but I can only imagine what he was thinking. Well, hey, we can get these guys to do anything that's dumb, right? Not in the old days, but recent years. Oh, yeah. That's when he offered, according to multiple media reports, he offered starting pitcher Marcus Stroman to the Cardinals in a straight-up deal for Arenado. John Mozeliak, according to media reports, said no. Way to go, Mo. Now, you know what the scary thing is? Some of you are saying, well, what would have been wrong with that? I don't know. Do I have to explain it? They're in a different phase. They're in a cost-cutting mode, and even though they would save money by taking on Stroman's contract and giving the Yankees Arenado's contract or most of it, yeah, they would come out of head. But maybe they don't want Marcus Stroman because, after all, they do, in theory, would like to get some of their young starting pitchers some major league time in 2024 or 2025. And that's not going to happen if you got Stroman clogging up things. He's due $18.333 million in 2025, but if he pitches 140 innings in 2025, a vesting option kicks in that guarantees him another $18.33 million for 2026. No, thank you. I try to put a lot into this one today by getting the whole Goldie report. Can he help the Yankees? Can he bounce back? What was his Cardinals career like? Okay, what is the fact the Yankees went for him? And I thought made a smart gamble there. What does it mean? Are they going to now try to reunite Goldie and Arenado? It's possible. I don't know how to handicap it because we don't know what Arenado wants to do, right? If he still has the rosary beads, metaphorically speaking, out, you know, with a candle, oh, please, the Dodgers, please, please, the Dodgers. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, if that's like his end game and it doesn't come true, you know, where would he approve to go? So I just please get the thing over. I was hoping it was going to be over by Christmas, but who knows? Probably going to drag on. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see. Anyway, I try to cover all this ground for you, and I got it done in less than 25 minutes, and that's a wrap for now. Be back later if anything happens or if there's anything I really want to jump into, and I got a couple ideas on that. So, it is the most wonderful time of the year, but I'm also very busy because it's Christmas almost, and I got things to do just like you all have some things to do, so we'll see. Anyway, thank you as always for your support of the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube.